All right, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6. So Matthew chapter 6. I'll give you a little heads-up notice. I had to make some changes in the PowerPoint at the last minute. I hope I got them all right. So if something doesn't match up right, somebody raise their hand at me and we'll see if we can figure it out, okay? Matthew chapter 6. One of the best smells in the entire world is fresh baking bread. You know, God didn't just give us a wonderful food to eat. He threw in an extra bonus in making it so wonderfully smell so wonderfully good. And I can't help but think that it evoked a smile on God's face, knowing what we were going to experience, smelling bread being baked. And so I love the smell of that. When I was growing up in Atlanta, when we would go to downtown Atlanta, the main road we would take to go downtown, we had to pass the Colonial Bakery Company on the left-hand side of the road. Oh, the smells that came out of that place. That was the best part of going to downtown Atlanta, was driving by the Colonial Bakery Company. Just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But today, we continue our study of the Lord's Prayer, and a shift is somewhat made in terms of what we are praying for. So far, we have been praying over, focusing on these grand themes of God's name being hallowed, God's kingdom being expanded and advanced, God's will being done, great and lofty themes. And while the focus now shifts in these next set of three petitions to focusing on our needs, it's encouraging to me to see the melding together of these lofty grand themes of God's name, kingdom, and will alongside of my little everyday needs of food, forgiveness of sins, protection from evil. And so you see these connected, that they're just as important to God as the big things, our own little needs. And so while the focus shifts to our needs, as I mentioned last week, and I'm praying now for these specific needs, we're doing so, here's one of those so that we can participate personally in bringing answers to the first three petitions related to God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. So we're asking the Father for these things so that we can be a part of, me personally can be a part of, the answering of these three opening petitions. But just kind of to drive this home a little bit more, let me just add this. In contrast to the what's referred to as the name and claim it, or the health, wealth, and prosperity teaching, which is really, really a selfish, me-centered teaching that's just focusing on me getting what I want to get. In contrast to that, Jesus teaches us that our prayers to the Father for our daily bread, for forgiveness of sins, for protection from evil, they're not selfish demands whatsoever. They are best understood as requirements to enable us to honor His name, to advance His kingdom, and to do His will. So one of the main purposes for God answering these next three petitions is to enable us to fulfill the commitments He gives to us to do as His redeemed children. And so rather than being requests that are self-seeking or selfish, they really are requests that are kingdom-focused, kingdom-oriented, God-glorifying as we live them out for His name, for His kingdom, for His will. And so Jesus is teaching us to pray and to focus on God's kingdom. And then He will, in turn, take care of our kingdom, our little needs which we have, which He goes on to really emphasize and lay out as we get further into Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first, all these things will be added. So he's talking about those kinds of things. As we take care of focusing on his kingdom, he'll in turn take care of supplying and focusing on our needs or our little kingdom. Or I could say it this way. This is kind of just keeps expanding more in my mind the more I dwell on this. How does God hallow his name? How does God advance his kingdom? How does God do his will on earth? One way is by providing our daily bread, by forgiving us our debts, by protecting us. And so, make sure I get that one in the right place. God does these things, provision, forgiveness, protection, yes, to enable us to live out the opening petition, but he also does it to give us more reasons to honor and hallow his name in our lives, to give us more reasons to advance his kingdom in and through our lives, to give us more reasons to do his will in and through our lives. And so when we experience God's care and his provision in our life, it prompts a God-honoring, praise-giving, dedicated living from us. So again, these two parts, the first part of the prayer and the second part, just are connected. Please don't forget that. So as we begin studying the second half in these three petitions, provision for our daily bread, pardon for our sins, protection from the evil one, if you think about these three things, they really cover the needs of life. And this isn't original with me, but I appreciate it, so I'll put it on the up here for you. Provision takes care of your present, your daily bread. Pardon takes care of your past, forgiveness of sins that form this barrier between us and the Lord. Protection takes care of our future, what's going to come at us to try to steer us away from the Lord. But not only that, it really takes care of every aspect of our being. Here's another way. Someone else put it this way. Provision takes care of my body, my physical needs. Pardon takes care of my soul. Protection takes care of my spirit. And so I don't know if you were here the first Sunday back in October when we introduced this, but I made the comment then that everything that can legitimately be prayed about can be incorporated into the Lord's Prayer, maybe not until you see the every little specifics, but in terms of the breadth that's found there in the Lord's Prayer. Everything really is covered. Doesn't mean we don't ever bring the Lord the details. No, we're told to bring the details of our lives too, but really everything we can pray about somewhere in these six petitions under these general headings that Jesus has given us, they fall underneath there. And so he gives us these. We fill in the details with what's happening in our lives, but they all fall under one of those six places, basically. And then one more thing I want to mention to you, and then we'll get into the specific petition. So we have these grand and lofty themes, hallowing God's name, advancing His kingdom, doing His will. So is it not stunning and wonderful and humbling to understand that this God who created the universe and everything in it, this God who's the God of time and space and eternity, this God who is infinitely holy and so utterly different from us, that this God cares about my daily meals, that I have food to eat, that I have a place to lay my head. That this God, as big and lofty as he is, cares about these things. One pastor, I don't know really who he is, Ron Hutchcraft, maybe you know that name, but he said it this way. The Lord's Prayer moves from the galaxies to the groceries. How humbling. That God, the infinite, eternal God, comes down here and is concerned about these physical things that touches my life. makes you want to sing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. All right, verse 11. Let's look at the specific petition we come to today. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, although this was a genuine concern for the people hearing it in Jesus' day and for centuries that followed, yet let's face it, for most Christians here in our country, this request sounds a little unnecessary and needless because we have such an abundance. Why should we ask God for what we already have in abundance? You know, most of us need to eat less food each day instead of asking God to provide us food for the day. What would be completely acceptable in maybe some third country type of country in the world still seems really kind of irrelevant for us here this morning. I mean, come on. When was the last time you actually sincerely prayed, "Oh Lord, I plead with you, please give me food to eat today"? We don't have to do it. Usually what we need to pray is, "Lord, please help me not to eat too much today. Lord, help me to have self-discipline today in what I eat. Lord, I've got so much more for me. I can serve a whole lot of people." That's where we come from. And so again, this part of the prayer seems a little bit irrelevant to us here in this, for the most part, for us here in this country. So as we think about this, how do I approach this with you? Do I just come and say, "Hey, you're going to have to try to imagine you have nothing to eat. You're going to have to try to imagine how desperate you would be if that was your situation. And try to imagine how you would form a prayer to God if that was your situation." Is that the way we have to approach this? Or do we approach it in the sense of emphasizing the word "our"? You know, you need to be praying. We need to be praying for the people in the poverty-stricken land because they don't have food to eat. Is that how we're supposed to handle this particular request for us here in America? And my answer would be no. So let's see how we address this. How is it applicable to us? First of all, let me suggest to you that bread not only represents daily food, but I think it includes all the basic necessities of life. And most Bible students would agree with that that's in the spirit of it. It's not just talking about literally just the food I need today, but the basic necessities, not the wants, not all the extra stuff, but the basic necessities of life. And so I would suggest to you that the basic truth contained in this petition is this. It's the acknowledgement that our Father is our supplier. He's our supplier. Whether we're praying in advance because we have a need, or whether we're on the other side and giving thanks to Him because He's provided for a need. I think that's really what captures what is being encouraged us to pray here. And by the way, just one more thing on this. Either way you pray that, praying for the need or giving thanks that He's met the need, either way, you're acknowledging that He ultimately is your supplier of what you need. But what I was going to say, we recognize how quickly life situations can happen and things can change in our lives. Maybe through a job layoff or your business closes. There were several of those during the COVID years, still happening. Your business closes and they shut the door and you didn't know what was going to happen and you're out of a job. Or major, multiple, costly repairs. Although it seems like anything's costly now to repair it. But not just one or two, but a multiple in a row. The major, major expenses stretched out very quickly over several different areas in your life. Or some kind of long-term or even permanent debilitating accident that you have. Or some kind of life-changing or life-shortening health diagnosis. Things can happen in a split second. Completely change your life. What that reality does for me is it produces a lot of thank you, Lords, when things are going well. When things are going well. Here's what I mean by that. In our Denise and my house, we have a heat pump, and we have an oil furnace. When we first moved into the house, it was an old oil furnace that was getting harder to get parts for. And so there were days when it would not kick on. Usually that was a Friday or a Saturday on the coldest days of the season. I'm not exaggerating that either. But we've had the oil furnace replaced. But there's still, you know, certain maintenance you do with an oil furnace, maybe a little bit more than you do with other kind of heating systems. So we do that. But my point is this. Basically, every morning when I get up and I hear the heat running, I say, thank you, Lord. Really do. Even though I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to take care of this thing, even though it should be running because maintenance is being done on it, I still say, thank you, Lord. Every time I return from a trip or just driving at night, knowing what the deer population is around here, or in the rain, or going on a destination, vacation or whatever, anytime I pull into my driveway or arrive at my destination, it's a thank you, Lord, that it went well. When the storms come like we had, whether it's wind and or rain and or lightning and the occasional ice, my house is surrounded by big oak trees. So every time it's thank you, Lord, for protecting us from fallen limbs or even worse, fallen trees. To the praise of the Lord, Denise and I are out of debt, except for the house. It's going to be paid off in a couple of years. But whenever I pay a repair bill, or when I have to fill the heating oil tank, and 2 winters ago, 2022, the price of heating oil was considerably, considerably higher than we'd ever paid or expected. Thank you for those who contributed to that. Or whether it's just some other out of ordinary expense to be able to pay it out of funds that we've saved up instead of having to put it on a card. It's a thank you, Lord. And frequently I go to Denise and say, I'm just so grateful we've saved the funds and we had that to pay. We don't have to put it on some kind of credit card. Because I know that's not the case for a lot of people. When I go to the doctor, when I go to the dentist, when I go to the eye doctor, and I get a good report, no issues to be concerned about, Mr. Wall. Thank you, Lord. Point is, yes, we're to pray to the Father for our needs. Absolutely. But we are just as much to say thank you to the Lord when things are going well. And that's sometimes what we forget to do, except maybe on Thanksgiving Day itself. And I think giving thanks for when things are going well is in the spirit of this petition that Jesus gives us here in praying for our daily bread. We are not to take it for granted. And we're not to attribute it to ourselves. Oh, look at what I've been able to do. I have the talent. I have the skills. I'm improving my skills. I'm rising up in the company. I'm getting better pay. I'm able to do this. I'm contributing to this success. Even though, yes, there's choices we make that God uses in that regard. But my point is, I try to live a life of gratefulness to the Lord, and especially when things are going well. Even to the point of, and I've shared this with you before, but I share it again because it keeps happening. Even when I pick up a cup of coffee and I bump it on the corner of my laptop and it doesn't spill, the first words out of my mouth always are, thank you, Lord. I don't know if I'm getting more clumsy in my old age, but it's happening more. But even when the coffee doesn't spill, so listen, I'm not trying to hold myself up in any way, but I'm just trying to let you see how we tangibly can live out this request that Jesus gives us here. And these are just examples of what the Lord has taught me and what the Lord has done in me in living out a grateful response to Him, even all the way down to filtering all the way down to not having spilled coffee or finding that nut and bolt that I dropped on my gravel driveway. Thank you, Lord. I found it. I could spend a whole lot more time talking about the way the Lord has been my supplier and met my needs. And yet at the same time, I know in our congregation there are some specific needs. And yes, you're to pray for those. And yes, you're to thank the Lord even when hard situations touch your life. That's kind of another sermon, another path to go down. But I think maybe for most of us this morning, probably the challenge or the application of this petition revolves more around having gratefulness to the Lord when He has taken care of me and things are going well. Because it's so easy, as I said, to overlook that. Don't take those things for granted. And here's where the daily part comes in. As I said, we don't have to truly pray for daily food. We've got tons of food in our pantries. I don't know what y'all do for your shopping. Denise goes once a week. We don't have to go daily to buy food to resupply ourselves. Some of you go probably even stretch it out even further than that. But the point is, on any given day, everything can change. Everything can change. As I mentioned, whether it's an accident or a bad health diagnosis. And so we need to live with a daily thankfulness to the Lord for what He has provided. So would you listen to these words from Deuteronomy? Different setting, but catch the principle that's stated there, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 14, and then 17 and 18. God speaking. He says, when you have eaten, you've got food in other words, and you're satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinance and His statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, I know that doesn't apply to y'all, but other things multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Verse 17, you may say in your heart, my power and strength of my hand hath made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth. You know, we can operate like we're the ones providing for ourselves. You know, I've got the job, I've got the education, or I've got the skills. I'm improving the skills so I can keep climbing up the ladder. I buy my food. I pay my bills. I do this. I do that. We might not actually think or say that out loud, but sometimes Christians kind of operate that way. For example, again, when was the last time you said, again, not on Thanksgiving, Father, I'm just grateful that You've provided food and wonderful food and the variety of food to eat. I'm grateful for a warm home, or if it's in the summer, a cool home. We've lived in houses that didn't have air conditioning. Some of you have too. And if you're in the South, that can be very uncomfortable. Lord, I'm thankful for the physical strength You've given me. I'm grateful for the mental abilities You've given me to think well, to be able to do my job. None of those are guarantees, are they? Just ask someone who's lost one of those. Those of you who are long-term members of this church, you may remember a year and a half ago, Chris Deal, who grew up in our church, died at age 50 with ALS. Age 50, strapping, strong guy. None of it is guaranteed. So the essence of this petition is really an affirmation that all our substance comes from God. It's us saying to the Father, Father, I want You to know that I realize You are the source. You are the source of my life, of my health, of my food, of my shelter, my clothing, my basic needs. And thus I will ask you to supply them, but I also want to give you thanks as you constantly do that. And especially in those smooth times when things are going so well. So I don't know. I may have to change, Jenny. Where's Jen? Jen, pay attention. I may have to change what I'm going to put on my gravestone from "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever" to just simply "thank you, Lord." That'd be cheaper. Fewer words. Or maybe put both of them on there. But that could very well go on my gravestone. "Thank you, Lord." That's how we're called to live. All right, let me just let minutes remaining. Let's just focus on the food aspect. Okay, we'll take it literally. Just the food aspect. So I'm going to take you back to the creation story. All right, in the Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the sky, to everything that moves on the earth that has life." That's the creeping things it says in the King James, I think. "I have given every green plant for food," and it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. I don't have time to go into the detail of all this. I don't know it all anyway. But there is so much more involved in us having food to eat than me running down here to Food Line and seeing all the food on the shelves and picking it out. So much more. Even so much more than I could, when we plant our garden in the spring, I can reap from that. God has set up this whole network to provide food for us to eat. Some of you know more about this than I do, but it's so amazing and so incredible. Think about it this way. Somebody said it this way. In providing food for mankind, God feeds the food that feeds mankind. I'll read it again. In providing food for mankind, God has to feed the food that feeds mankind. In other words, God has to feed the animals. God has to feed the bees. Where would we be without the bees? God has to feed the plants. There has to be minerals in the ground. There has to be other animals and other plants. All of this has to happen to provide food for us to eat. It's encompassing, all-encompassing what's involved. And God keeps the whole cycle going. Hey, Ann, you may not feel like it right now, but rain's a tremendous gift too. I know we got a lot of it lately, but where would He be without it? What if God shut off the heavens? He's done that at times, still does it at times. Things wouldn't grow. The grass and stuff wouldn't grow, so the animals couldn't eat it. Therefore, the animals would die, and therefore a lot of the things we do eat, we couldn't eat because it wouldn't be animals. Then the rain, yes, but then we also need something else, don't we? We need sunshine, don't we? You got to have both. Who regulates that? Who makes sure that happens? I am fascinated by pictures of Mars and the moon. Just the absolute barrenness that's there. Nothing grows. I mean, in one sense, it has a little bit of a beauty. The barrenness has a beauty aspect to it. But look at it. It's just, I don't know if you can see this one. That's darker. But it's just barren, except for rocks. And then I think about the earth. What a striking contrast. God has provided it all. All that is needed to provide food, from the first little part in the cycle all the way to whatever the last part is in the cycle. God provides it all. And if He didn't, where would we be? He's in charge of the climate. He's in charge of the ground. He's in charge of the minerals and stuff He put in the ground. He's in charge of the natural resources that He planted in this earth. Where would we be? If He didn't do that, I guess it'd look
like Mars, although he created Mars too.
God has provided, and I could keep going. Therefore, thank him. Just thank him. My daily bread, the necessities for this physical life, are all from my Father. He provides, as any good father would do, right? He provides. And so my prayer should ever and always be, give us this day our daily bread, understanding all that's contained in that little phrase, the breadth of that little phrase, what's contained in there. But let us be faithful, saying, Father, we recognize you are the supplier. You are the giver of all our physical necessities, all our physical needs and beyond. And so, Lord, give me today what I need for life. Help me always to give thanks back to you for them, and to give thanks especially when things are going well and it's easy not even to think about it. Provide it because you're my Father, and I want to be grateful and giving you praise for doing it, whether it's a hard time or whether it's one of those times when it's easy to forget about it. I want to give you thanks. I submit to you that is the spirit of what is contained in this simple little phrase, give us our daily bread. Let's pray. Father, just another example of your goodness to us. And particularly in this land in which we live. As I said at the very beginning, it's kind of hard to really know what this little petition is supposed to mean for us because we have such an abundance. Again, that's part of your goodness to this land. We realize all the world can't say the same thing. Sometimes, well, there's a whole lot of reasons that contribute to that. Sometimes from man's own wrong, sinful choices, people in power, droughts, floods, we understand all that. Because of false religion and the way they view animals sometimes. But Lord, I just want to be a grateful person to you. And I'm grateful, even as I woke up this morning not knowing how much rain or wind we could have gotten last night to get up and not see any limbs down in my yard. Just thank you, Lord. So Lord, we thank you that you are our great supplier. That we can come to you with the needs that we have. But Lord, may we ever be thankful people for how you meet those needs. So remind us of this week. Lord, I drive to work. I made it to work without the car breaking down or without an animal crossing the road. You've given me the physical strength or the mental strength and or both to do what you've asked me to do. Or for those that tend to the home, all the energy and thinking through and planning that has to happen, the mental ability to do that. Lord, foolish is the person who thinks it comes just for themselves. Because as we said, things can change in a split second. And so as your people this morning, we just thank you for being the God that supplies. And for those that have some specific needs this morning, would you just hear their cry as they come to you as their Father and ask for your meeting of the need in their particular circumstance. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.